Hiya everyone, my name is Monisola and you're welcome to another episode of Abubu Talks. So on today's episode, I'm going to be doing things a bit different. I'm going to be sharing a story time, and this is to basically celebrate being halfway through the season. This is my fifth episode and I'm so excited and grateful to everyone who has listened and shared and, you know, just engaged with me. Sharing their thoughts. I've learned so much from just, you know, interacting with people over these different topics. So yeah, thank you guys. Today's episode is going to be based on obstetric fistula, which is a form of pregnancy disability that happens in majorly younger women. So younger girls who carry pregnancies and then they suffer injuries and disabilities from it, especially when they are not able to get access to adequate healthcare. So this episode is going to be basically about that, and it's something that I have followed for a while, especially in Nigeria, because Nigeria apparently accounts for about 40% of all the fistulas in the world, which is a high number, but it's mainly because we also have a very high rate of child brides and underage pregnancies, which is actually quite disheartening. So I hope this raises awareness. So if you didn't know about it before, this is one way, and you know, I'd encourage people to actually read about this. And there's quite a number of charities that you can donate to that also help these girls get their lives back together. Some of them need surgery, so they also sponsor surgeries and stuff like that. So yeah, I hope you really enjoy listening to the story. I'll be more than happy to you know, engage or discuss any part of this you know, new topic with you if it's something that you've never heard of before. And yeah, so thank you guys for listening. As always, I'm so grateful. It was time. Hawa had hoped this day would never come. The date had been circled with a pencil on the glossy page of the calendar that lay on Uba's door. Uba's third wife had gifted it to him on the day of their marriage. She placed her palms on the mat on which she lay. Tonight would be the first she would be separated from it. She wondered if she would get a new mat, or if she would be as lucky as Aisha and get a bed. Hawa had only seen one bed in her life. It was Uba's orthopedic bed, gifted to him by a charity in the city when he had broken his back. It was the only bed in the whole village. Amina, the eldest daughter of her father's second wife, had told her there were bigger houses in the city, with beds bigger and softer than Uba's hard one. She would rather have her mat, she thought. Hawa, so deep in thought, she is startled by the soft but firm call of her mother. She proceeds to rise slowly and carefully from her mat, as if to say goodbye. Once on her feet, she catches her falling wrapper to retie it firmly around her small waist. She's tucking a peeking braid back under her hijab when her mother walks into the room. "I'm ready, Mama," the words feebly fall off her lips, after a long battle with the lump that had formed in her throat, a hard ball of tears that had been restricted from falling. Hawa had been prepped for this, emotionally and physically, but she was not ready, and she knew it. This was the seventh time this ritual was occurring in her lifetime, given that Uba had 11 daughters and 4 sons. Being the ninth daughter, she had seen her sisters as they prepared for the journey she was about to commence. She knew what she was supposed to do. Uba's wives had come together to give her tips for success. Most importantly, she was never to say no. She understood she had been paid for, and it was an honour bestowed upon her to serve the master leading her. All her sisters, but one, had done well on their journey. Amina, who left just 9 months ago, had been delivered of her first fruit. Fatima, Aisha, and Kulwa had done best. They were all pregnant for their fourth, with 6 males amongst them. Sakami and Gwama didn't have males, but they had 2 daughters each. Both their husbands had married more women in search of the missing. Tanuma was the one she was constantly reminded to see as a failure. She was not a real woman. Hawa pitied Tanuma, but she knew she couldn't be like her. She needed to bear fruit. Tanuma had developed an obstetric fistula after her first pregnancy. Aside from her son being stillborn, she now leaked urine, much to the irritation of Alhaji Tambuwal, who was forced to look for another childbearer. It had only been 2 weeks since that fateful morning, the morning that had started the clock on her journey to be a woman. At the crack of dawn, she woke, and as she rose from her mat, she felt the wetness before she touched it to know it was thicker than sweat. She knew what it was immediately. She had been there when it happened to Amina, and Mama had reminded her that in a few years it would be her turn. Amina was 13, however, 3 years older than Hawa was going to be at her next birthday. As she thought of what was going to be and what she was going to do, her mother walked in with a lantern. It was still dark outside, but the birds were awake. They both stood there, shocked by the realization of what was happening. The silence of the dark was louder than the screams of shock and despair in their hearts. It was time. The date circled on Uber's calendar with a pencil 2 weeks ago had slowly but surely arrived. Today, Hawa was going to be Alhaji Danladi's third bride. She wasn't even 10 years old.